like, say where I stopped and started trying to teach verses. I'm not trying to do it that way. I'm just trying to give you a general sense that we go through maybe the heart of the Lord or how that works in the best way. But there's pretty consistencies. God's consistent. And so let's see here. We're going to read through the first 12 verses again of chapter 4. I'm going to talk and highlight on a couple other verses that we didn't last week because I think it might be key in helping us. And then we'll go from there. So he says, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you also received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know the commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of you and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you walk properly towards those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Pretty simple, straightforward, not much there, wrong. There goes note taken. So the last few weeks we've been looking at, this is even before we got back into Thessalonians, about God making us and letting him make us into his image. And then we were looking at that image that he wants to create us as isn't his image, right, which is love, and he said he's going to conform us into the Son of his love. He's using the outside pressures of the world to squeeze out, to show you what's coming forth. And this is his design, and we see this in a group of young believers that Paul is writing to 6 months or so after their gave their lives to the Lord. And in that time, from the time this, before this letter was written, he had already sent Timothy back to talk to them and found out that their faith is doing well. And not just that, that the work that the Lord has done in them has moved through them and touched the world around them. And that they're walking in love and in just sharing, but they're also new believers and young. So everybody, anybody just got saved, been walking with the Lord for less than 6 months? A year? How much do you think you have it together with the time we've had with them, right? We might know in part, right? But we're looking forward to the day when it's known, he's fully known. But I kind of think this is fun. Well, this is not funny, but I read the last verse, chapter 2 of verse 12. It says that you may walk properly towards those outside and that you may lack nothing. So I started my study off looking at this week and saying, Lord, is it possible to walk properly towards those who are outside and to lack nothing? Everybody got those answers in that place? No? Okay. I asked that. that because sometimes I think we read in the Word, and I don't even think that sometimes we believe that it's something that the Lord is willing to do. And to not do for you, to work through you. And in you. And in agreement with one another. And so as we look at this, and it just made me start thinking about the beauty of what God's calling us to as He's calling us to Himself. And we talked about His holiness and how that the word sanctification and holiness is the same Greek word in the beginning of this chapter. And so He's calling us and drawing us into Himself to reveal Himself to us so that we can receive His love and that His love can bring about, when we see His forgiveness, we see His love, and that would motivate and move us and compassion to want to share that love with others. And it's funny that a group of people who were just told that you've been doing great and ministered to this whole, let's just say, county in the last 6 months to lead a quiet life and to mind their own business and to work with their own hands as they command. It's kind of interesting that they're being reminded to keep living that way. Anybody here desire to have a quiet life? No, seriously. It's only a couple hands raised. Don't we all really want to be able to just sit at peace and rest?
I was going to say that. I did until I married him.
But now it's a fulfilled... Wait. But Tammy. Hey, Tammy. But now you have a fulfilled life. Hey, I was just watching the young couple here, and just like every man, they don't say as much as ladies. So when he didn't know what to say, he said, "What I forbid." See, the Lord's bring them to be one. That's what He wants to do with us. But see, the Lord is just trying to live a quiet life, but also in a way that I have the ability to live quietly, but yet impactfully. To live in a way that there's peace in my life, to be settled, and lack nothing. Is it possible? Because I have not experienced it in my walk with the Lord in 28 years. I mean, but He says it is. And I'm not saying that I haven't had moments and things. I'm just saying, can I just be at peace? To be quiet. Sometimes maybe I need to shut up so I can live a quiet life. Because we're supposed to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But as the Lord is calling and drawing us into that sanctification where He's weaning down everything that's bad, but not just what's bad, He's weaning out everything that He's created that's good to bring you to Himself. Sanctification is not just staying away from the bad things, but also seeing that the Lord Himself is more than anything that you consider good in this world. Whether your spouse, your father, your mother, Jesus says, unless to follow me, you have to lay down. It's not a saying that there is not a love for those other things, but comparatively, it's what compared to our love for the Lord. And again, that love, it tells us, Jesus said that he who has been forgiven much, loves much. Living in a state of consciousness of my forgiveness that I've received allows me to fall in love with the Lord more and more when I see who He is and who I'm not. But what is the key that the Lord does for us? Because we know everything He aspires us to is not something that He leaves us alone to do on our own. Right? I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's His workmanship. We are agreeing with Him, coming together with Him. So when it tells us in verse 1 that He talks about how we ought to walk, He talked about earlier in the chapters that it was a walk of faith. And then in verse 9 He says that we should love one another, have brotherly love. So we have faith and love, which we know is of the Lord. And it's kind of interesting here in verse 9 gives us the key. But concerning brotherly love, no need that I should write to you. You yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Who's your teacher? How does He teach you?
From the inside out.
Right. Well, how's He drawn you? With His loving kindness. Right? So He's teaching us that we should walk in love as we experience the love we receive from Him. So that His light can shine forth from our lives, and then when they see your good deeds, that they can glorify your Father in heaven. Remember, least of the greatest of sinners, least of saints, living in this constant state of repentance, which means agreeing with God in ways moving and working in your life. Not that I'm always wrong, it's still redirection. It's a turning of my ways and turning to Him. And so He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us His Holy Spirit. And that's what right in the middle of those verses, in verse 8, it says that therefore he who rejects does not reject man, but God who has given us the Holy Spirit. You see, God's given us that gift of Himself, and He's placed Himself in you that He can speak to you. So we don't have to go to a temple in Jerusalem, that we can go into our secret place, which is really could be right where you are between you and God in your heart. Then He can minister to you and speak to you. But we hear about the Holy Spirit a lot of times, and I wonder what that looks like, or who He looks like, or how that working of the Holy Spirit. Anybody have questions about that? Good, you guys can come tell me.
I think it's a mystery.
It's a mystery, isn't it? Yes. Well, God is God, and He will always do the same today, yesterday, same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Lord Himself is bringing you to a place. Who is it that is going to do this work? Who is this that's going to reveal whether it's from man or from God? It's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Right? And I wanted to share some of these verses because about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be in John a lot, because I think it's important to know and to hold on, so when we bring all these things together, it can complete that picture for us. That God doesn't just want to take care of the outward sin. He wants to take care of the inward man, and bring it to Himself. So, we'll start. Go back to John chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses, and trust me, I will not be given an in-depth study on everything about the Holy Spirit. We have to eat lunch. And I don't know enough of it yet. John 4, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, speaks of God. Verses 23 and 24. He says, But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So if God's bringing us to a place where we have to worship by the Spirit, He's the one that we have to have it. Right? There must be a need for the Spirit in your life, which comes when we give our lives to Him. That you who were dead in your trespasses, He's made alive. That when you surrender your life to Jesus, that your spirit comes alive. And at the same time, God places His Holy Spirit within you to lead and guide you. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But we know that God's Spirit, we're also told in 2 Chronicles 16, it's the eyes of the Lord to go to and fro, seeking across the earth to find those whose hearts are loyal to Him, so that He can work strong on their behalf. But if you look at John 16, I'm just going to be reading some verses that speak of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 tells us that when He, very key, the word He speaks of a person, not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So, in chapter 16 here, what Jesus is teaching us is the Spirit of truth, the person, God in Spirit, when He's speaking to you, He will highlight Jesus. He's going to declare to you the things about Christ. He's not going to speak on His own authority. I mean, He's not going to just say what He wants to. That He's in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they're communicating together. Because He says He'll take from Me and give it to you. What He hears, He speaks. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Key work of the Holy Spirit. Flip back. John 14:26 if you want to. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. So the Spirit is to speak the things that He's heard and to bring to remembrance the things that the Lord's already spoken to you. And then John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. So again, the Spirit Himself is testifying of Christ, the work He's done and continues to do and wants to do. And then back in chapter 16, sorry, we're bouncing back and forth. One of the things the Spirit does when He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit's going to be bringing about conviction of, it's going to convict the world of sin. So He's going to reveal to you as he's from work the things that in your life that are falling short of God's perfection. That's the way it works for believers, well, even unbelievers, but for unbelievers, he's saying, you need Jesus. Well, for believers, he's saying, you need Jesus. But he's to convict the world of sin. Like, when we're falling short of God's glory, the Holy Spirit's there to, what we talked about a couple weeks ago, chasten. Whom he loves, he chastens. And that chastening is usually with a beautiful picture of who he is and wants to work in you, not what he wants to take of you and punish you. He wants to lift up and to build up so that we see his goodness and draw near. Again, it's his loving kindness that draws us. It's his forgiveness that motivates us to love. So that Spirit's working in us to keep us in a place of humility, that we're walking in a place that we want to receive from the Lord in the areas he wants to tweak in our lives. And change and move and to redirect. And I think that that's why in Thessalonians it says to lead a quiet life. You see, because the world's busy. And when God dealt with Elijah, he didn't speak through the earthquake. He didn't speak through the wind. What did he speak through? The still small voice. He wants to speak to you, but it's going to be softly. Why? Soft answer turns away wrath. There's many ways, but he wants you to tune in and hear from him. And see, that's why he hasn't left us as orphans. He's put himself inside of us so that he can, well, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Right? That's one of the first things. You'll never have a quiet life or settled life before the Lord until you understand you're his child. And when we forget, and we forget things, start acting like servants and forget that we're his child, he's going to bring about circumstances by the Holy Spirit to quiet us down and to settle our hearts and bring us into to redirect us to where he wants us to go. We understand that he wants us to live in such a way to affect those out there and to lack nothing. So, we look at ourselves and say, how can I love the world the way Jesus did? Right? Anybody have it down? Yes, you do. Because God's poured his Holy Spirit into your hearts. See, the Lord has not just called you to a life, but he's given you the life within you to walk it out. That's why it needs to be faith and love mixed. Because I need to believe in the work that the Lord is doing and done, speaking. Look, if I read this and I don't think it's for me, how am I going to activate faith by asking the Lord to do it? Lord, if I don't feel like, if I can't come to a place where you're telling me that there's a way that I can lead, that means being in control of a quiet life. And a way that can lack nothing. And still be out there and impacting the world for Jesus. I can't do it on my own. But he's never asked us to. Only God saves. And only God can save you from yourself and the people around you from themselves. So what does he do? He places himself in you. He puts himself in the temple with legs that are no longer in a position of staying still that he can move through to walk out this salvation with fear and trembling, right? knowing that it's God who works in you to will and to do for His good pleasure. So I love the fact that he puts this here in Thessalonians about the Holy Spirit, because just like he is our mediator, our intercessor, right in the midst, walk in faith, walk in love. Oh, by the way, here's myself, I want to do it through you. I'm not asking you to do anything. He's not asking us to do anything but believe and let him work it through our lives. Let him love your neighbor. Because if we look in the mirror, we know we can't. Or don't know exactly how to love our neighbor. But the Holy Spirit knows what they need. And I have a lot more I want to share. So as we walk and trust and rely on Him, we're going to need to get to a place where we can be settled. And anybody here love people who meddle in your business? No one. Holy Spirit meddles. But anyway, that's His business. Just kidding. But no, we don't like when people meddle in your own business. And my business, my neighbors, people tell me how to do, clean my house or cook my dinner or whatever, right? Does anybody like that?
Flesh doesn't, but sometimes you need instruction.
All I'm saying is, we don't like it. Why would we think we should walk around judging other people in the same aspects? When we don't know where they are, what they need. Or, ultimately, can I walk in love, which does not consider itself, thinks no evil, rejoices in the truth, hopes all things, and believes all things? Can I come to a place where I can trust God with the person sitting next to me? I've had to trust Him for me. Can I trust Him for you? The work that God, how He saved me, is fully by His grace. I am in total need day by day. He holds my very breath. So does everyone next to you. And you see, if we can look in that way, maybe we might have to be a little more compassionate. Some of us, hopefully. But at least we'd be able to have empathy. You know, Jesus was tempted in all of our ways, yet without sin. But He was able, because He was tempted, that we could come to Him and that we could find a way of escape, because He was without sin. So I just find it awesome and beautiful that the Lord is talking to young believers saying, you're doing awesome, you're doing awesome. Oh, by the way, just keep increasing. Just keep going after what you're doing. Keep falling in love with Jesus more. Keep walking by faith, trusting the Lord more. And all that you do, as you hear from Him, allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and work that out. My proof texts are in Thessalonians for all this, if I guess, sort of proof text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, things that were said to the Thessalonians. Verse 5, this is Paul saying, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in much power in the Holy Spirit, and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So we see that the gospel came to the good news. We'll get into that one. The gospel, there's a simple gospel for salvation, but then we all know that there's a greater gospel, the good news of Jesus, of a life lived with Him. And so when somebody says, what's the gospel? It's like, well, where do I start? Where do I end? Well, that's how much good news He's revealed to you, how to go with that. But it says that they The gospel came in power through the Holy Spirit. Right? We'll turn over to chapter 2, verse 12 or 13. Kind of describes how that Spirit was working. And I believe this is the way the Spirit works in us as well. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that God gave them that also brought them to a place that they relied and trusted in Him, so that when a man was speaking, Paul, that they understood that that wasn't from Paul, that it was from the Lord Himself. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, that when I can receive His Word from God, know it's from God, not from me, that I can walk in faith and ask the Lord to do that work in my life. This is truth. The Holy Spirit is guiding me into all truth. He's showing me truth. He's reminding me of all the things that Jesus has said. He's going to declare us to us who Christ is in all this. Through His Spirit, and He reveals. And then when I believe, when I agree with the Spirit of what God wants to do and let Him do that work, I call that repentance. A form of repentance where I change my thought process into the thought process that the Holy Spirit's moving and changing my life into the process of God. So I have to change and walk with Him. Because it does say in the end of verse 13, it says, which also effectively works in you who believe. Which means God's Word wants to effectively work in you, but it needs to be mixed with faith. In Hebrews, what does it tell us about when God was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt? But it says in Hebrews, and it says that the Word that He gave them didn't profit them, because it wasn't mixed with them. The Holy Spirit has been left us to bring us to a place of, this is what the Lord's saying to you. And it can be different for each of us. We're not all feet. We'll be stepping on each other's toes. Right? Well, He forms us and makes us and brings us together into the holy temple of the Lord, and however He works. Different ways, different giftings, different things. But this is one thing I do know when it talks about back in Thessalonians, to live a quiet life, to be able to settle your heart and to hear from Him and not to be a busybody. Work with your own hands as we commanded you. I think it's a very good lesson for young believers who feel, just young believers that want to walk with Jesus. Find something you can do with your hands that the Lord wants to live His life through you and work it out. Touch. But one of the other things here about minding your own business, working with you, I think that the Lord will reveal to you what He wants to work through you individually. And He's not going to reveal to you what He wants to work. He's not going to reveal to me what He wants to work through Kent's life. He's going to reveal to Kent what He wants to work through Kent's life. So He wants to minister each of us, reveal what He wants to do with us. But working with your own hand, He's going to show it, and it's going to practically work out for each of us. He's not showing you for you to show someone else what to do. He's speaking to you because He wants to speak to you. And if He's enlightening your eyes to a need or something, walk in it. Don't look for somebody else to do it, except for the Holy Spirit to do it within you. For God Himself to work it in you, to will and to do for His good pleasure. And so this walk with Jesus is never something we've ever been supposed to do on our own. It's a walk that we cannot do on our own. that we have to rely on His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to direct us, to tweak us. We need tweaked a lot. That we'd come boldly to that throne of grace, that we'd stand in His presence and say, Lord, what do you have? Reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me in a greater way so that I can know you more. And then as I know you, that life of you will come forth from my life so the world around me can see it. I don't need to go and brag about what God's doing in my life. I don't need to say anything. My life should speak, and it should speak of Jesus. That's what His desire is to do in and through us. And if that's a heavy message, good. Because that's what repentance brings us to. It brings us to Himself, to where we say, you know, maybe I need tweaked. Maybe I need redirected. Maybe I need your love more. Maybe I need a visual understanding of what that means. So I can turn and my heart be melted and drawn near. It's true for all of us. We all probably sit here saying, I want to know Jesus more. We know that when we see Him, we'll be like Him, and we'll know Him as He's known. But until then, we have great opportunities day by day to know Him more. And to see a beautiful Savior, moment by moment, day by day. And so that I can live in a way that I lack nothing. I live in a way I lack nothing when I understand what the psalmist said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can read the rest on your own. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why can I come to a place in my life that I lack nothing? Because God's all giving and all loving, and He's going to take me to the place and settle me before my enemies. Pour out a banquet table and feed me with His righteousness. And feed me with His love and His joy and His peace. Well, I'm going to read this since I turned here. Psalm 17, 115 says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awaken your likeness. I think it's a good thing. It's like, I'm satisfied that I'm a child, but I want to be more like my Father. And until the day is that I see Him face to face, my desire and need, as Psalm 17:15 says, that I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm in His likeness. Don't settle for where you are in your salvation. Allow Him to continue to sanctify you and draw you to Himself and continue to reveal Himself to you even more. Let's pray. Father, we just Lord, I just thank you that you just didn't do that work for our initial salvation and just leave us on the sideline and wait till we get to heaven to get to know you. But you've left us here so that we can seek you. And I'm glad that you promised that if we seek you with our whole hearts, we'll find you. But even more so, Lord, we thank you for even that desire to seek you. Because we know that came from you. Lord, I pray that you would just lead us and direct us, Lord. Bring us to a place, Father, that we would be able to lead a quiet life and make an impact on the world around us. Lord, I pray that, but I know it's not even us, Lord. We pray that in our quiet lives that you make an impact on the world around us so that you get the glory and honor and praise you're due. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.